Hello, I'm here with Bob Hagen. How are you doing today?
Good, Josh. Thanks for the invite. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So, starting off, if you could start off with kind of a brief bio.
Well, I served in the Ohio legislature for 28 years as a state legislator, state representative for 10, state senator for 10, and went back to the House for 8 years, all the while still running a locomotive for 46 years. I have not retired. Dennis Pierce has a strict rule on making sure that the people are working, and they have their hands on the throttle, that they can connect with the members, and he insisted that if I'm going to work there in D.C., that I should still be able to run a train. I'm not that good at it, but I still can run a train.
That's pretty fantastic. Yeah, thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you.
So the position that you're holding, if you can kind of explain a bit what it consists of.
The Director of Political and Legislative Affairs grew out of the fact that I had some experience with congresspeople, with politicians, with sort of their bullshit line. And I think that Dennis and John Tolman recognize the fact that they should have somebody in that office that can, in fact, execute the lobbying effort that we have to do. And the other part of that, of course, is to educate our members as well. The Director of Legislative Affairs would be the job entails making sure that I understand the process of any of the bills that have a direct impact on any of the locomotive engineers, working people, people across the United States. And don't forget, we have 39 states that have chairmen that legislatively deal with the same type of things relative to their state. But as we all know, the railroad has everything to do with the federal laws that we pass, that we watch. And the political end, of course, is that I can go and shake hands with people and ask them to support our two-person crew, HR 233, ask them to make sure that rail safety is first and foremost in their thought and in their process of voting, and that they know who to contact for any of those issues that might come up.
Fantastic. Just briefly, if you'd like to talk about what being a union member means to you and what the union means.
You know, I don't have any formal education. That is, I never sat in a classroom of at a university. I have used to tell people I have six brothers and seven sisters, and when I went to school, it was usually to pick them up. There wasn't much education there, but there was a whole lot of education in my interest, and that was union history. Mm-hmm. When I was a junior in high school, I started to read about union history. I started to read about the 1877 insurrection, railroad firemen starting these movements where they stopped the shipments of coal and goods across the country, starting in, you know, small towns in West Virginia, small towns in Ohio, and it spread across the United States. I got interested in that history, and I fell into the opportunity to work in a steel mill. And, you know, it's funny because I lived across the river from a steel mill, and growing up, I could always hear the different whistles signaling the startup, the stop of the mill itself, the call for the electrician with five whistles, calling twice for the train to move forward or three to move back. All these things were in my mind, and I ended up working in a steel mill for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I started, I just didn't see that there was going to be any real opportunity for a future. So I ended up kind of interestingly thinking that a factory, General Electric, would be something I might like. So I quit the steel mill.
Okay.
By the way, when I got out of high school in 1968, there were five different railroads and four different steel mills that I could go into. So, you know, if you want to be a working class hero, here's your chance.
Right. And where was this?
This was in Youngstown, Ohio. Oh,
okay.
By the way, that the years later, we lost close to 40,000 of those industrial jobs. But I got involved in the steel mill union, mm-hmm. the Steelworkers Union. I got involved when I went to the factory. I was elected in 5 months as the shipping shop chairman,
okay,
which was an honor. to be able to do that. What we didn't, or someone didn't tell me, was that you had to be there 6 months before you could assume any union role, and you were basically dead meat if you got involved in the union. They fired me.
Oh, okay.
They fired me because I didn't...
you didn't meet the requirements.
I didn't make the requirements, 6 months. Then I remember a buddy of mine who has since actually was killed in a railroad accident. Called me and told me, this is when you should start the railroad, buddy. You got to do this. It's a great job. You won't get your gloves too dirty if you hire out as a fireman, which I did in 1971. I worked from 1971 to the present, but I always got involved in all the unions. And wherever I worked, I got involved in the United Electrical Workers, Steel Workers Union. I actually worked for local chairman for the United Transportation Union. President of the BLET, mm-hmm. and I always loved that part of the union, that process of bringing people together to fight collectively and bringing benefits to all the members. I did notice that it wasn't always that great of a job because we sometimes, I think it was in 1977, 78, I saw a rapid drop in the interest of unions because people that I worked with had taken advantage of it and said, it's all right, there's no problem. They could come to the union meetings. You only needed five people to have a union meeting, and we were sometimes getting four. And I remember a buddy of mine, it was 25 miles from our home to the union meeting, and a buddy that used to meet me there all the time, he lived in Youngstown, this was 25 miles away in Newcastle, Pennsylvania. We kind of laughed about it because we ended up just drinking. No one showed up. We waited and had a beer or two, and then we just drove home. I saw the rapid drop in interest in unions about that time, but I always continued to understand the importance of that and to continue to try to inspire people to pay attention to those unions, their job and their obligation to it. Go to a union meeting, get involved in politics. Everything is political. And then I started, realizing the damn railroad is all totally political. Right. Everything that you do, you touch, you work with, has some restriction or has some part of the laws that we make in this land that has an application directly to how we operate our trains.
Absolutely. What are some of the good attributes you see from this organization we belong to through our membership? And kind of what do you think we can do better to better serve this organization as a whole?
Well, I see great attributes. I see great opportunities for everyone. I also see the fact that, I don't want to focus so much on the negatives.
Mm-hmm.
The negatives basically are that people are not paying attention to the details. They're not paying attention to how that impact will impact their families as well. They don't see that. But what I see is an incredible amount of spirit that we can wrestle from our members if they understand what collective bargaining is about, if they understand what the fight is. I always have used an old saying, an old adage about if we don't remember the mistakes of the past, we're bound to repeat them.
Mm-hmm.
Why some people don't understand the history of labor just confounds me, because not everybody was like me, kind of a nerdy guy in high school wanting to look at labor history. But the fact is, that's what we did. We were the strength. We were, the locomotive firemen were like one of the original strike people, the people that went on strike saying that we want dignity at the workplace. We want fair wages. We want benefits. We're tired of working 16 hours a day. Don't forget, too, they had young kids working at that time.
Right.
So when they stopped those trains, they did it for the benefit of the collective benefit of the membership and their families. And I still see the fire in some of the younger people now. And I see it in you, too, as mm-hmm. well, Josh, because we need people like yourself to step up, to participate, and be involved and take on that fight. Show a bit of militancy.
Right,
That when these guys say, oh, fuck it, it doesn't make any difference, they're all the same, the parties are both the same, you're not getting anything. You have to step up and say that's not the truth.
Right.
I'll tell you exactly why. And then when they confront you, you just have to be calm about it. My Facebook, I don't know if anyone ever looks at that thing, but people do.
I've been known from time to time.
Yeah,
to take a look.
I beat the hell out of people sometimes. You know, and at my age, you know, you just say, what the hell? I'm 69 years old. I put a lot of time in. I don't want to hear the bullshit.
Right.
But I would not suggest everyone do that. I think understanding a union, educating our members about the importance of it, understanding collective bargaining, how when we work together, we get so much more. That's the message that we have to have. And I think Dennis Pierce said it today about God, guns, and gays. Mm-hmm. Those aren't the issues that apply to us. You know, if that's a moral issue, we try to keep the morality issue, religion, that is, mm-hmm. out of politics. That's what we're supposed to do.
Absolutely.
And when we're talking and we're trying to let our members know how we stand on these issues, we have to concentrate on how it impacts them financially, economically, how it impacts their family. That's what we continue to fight for. Good benefits, dignity at the workplace, mm-hmm. making sure that we continue to get some raises to keep up, and take on those big corporate people that don't really care that much about us.
Right. Well, any final thoughts you'd like to leave us with today?
Yeah, I really would love to see people get more involved. Our members need to step up. They need to understand the politics of the railroad and how it implies. You know, I used to give a talk sometimes to some eighth graders and ninth graders in high school, and I would say to them, step out of your bed, and you rolled off a bed that is inspected by government workers, stepping on a floor inspected by government workers so it doesn't fall through. Catch a bus outside, and there's regulations on that bus. Just before you step off that sidewalk, those are regulations and laws and rules. They apply to all of us. Politics is in there, whether we want to admit it or not. You can't hide. You can't think that it doesn't exist. You have to be participants of it. And, you know, politics sometimes is a little bit physical, at least in edging our way, elbowing our way into the discussions that make a difference for all of us. Collective bargaining works, and I would encourage everyone to be part of that.
All right. Well, thank you for talking with me today.
Glad to be here with you. Thank you for inviting me.
All right.